Hi there, brothers and sisters, who touch not the unclean. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 6 of Pork and the Unclean. You can follow along with the document by going to thinkoutsidethebeast.com.
Pork is found in the Word Studies menu.
In part 5, we saw in Amos that the wealthy Israelites turned their backs to the poor and the meek, and they profaned the name of Yahweh through their idolatry and unlawful sexual relations. Micah was more condemnation of oppression of the poor, and that the preachers of the day were teaching prosperity and good times. They got comfortable in their rest, but it was polluted because the people were living in idolatrous delusions. The same thing can be said of today, where the churches teach prosperity gospels and personal salvation, and they don't teach repentance, kingdom salvation, and racial covenant theology or the true gospel. The churches walk in the spirit of falsehood and lies, and that is why Yahweh lets them have their Jaime Jesus, ham-eating, saved, just-believe, rapture delusions. Nahum was more of whoredoms and witchcrafts, but this time of Nineveh. Their reformation of the time of Jonah, about 50 years earlier, was not maintained, and the Assyrians fell back into idolatry and abominations, so Yahweh put an end to that nation. In Haggai, we saw Yahweh compare his people and nation to the unclean because of their idol worship. Idolatry defiles you. Jewish Jesus is a defiler of would-be Christians. In Zephaniah, we saw Jerusalem was counted as filthy, polluted, and defiled because she did not obey Yahweh and did not draw near to her God. Idolatry makes us common. In Zechariah, we saw a prophecy of a fountain for cleansing. This was speaking of the shed blood of Yeshua Messiah. Yahweh also prophesied that our parents, who were brought up in the churches, will thrust you out when you try to warn them that Jesus was not a Jew and that church doctrine is wicked, desecrating, and an abhorrence to Yahweh. Our people love Jaime Jesus and bacon so much that they will choose them over you and Yahweh. In Malachi, we saw Yahweh's hatred and displeasure toward Esau, who was Jacob's brother. Esau is the father of the Edomite Jews, who Yahweh hates and calls them the border of wickedness, and whom Yahweh has indignation forever. The Jews keep saying that they will build, but Yahweh keeps telling them that he will throw them down. Yahweh also chastises the Jews for usurping the Levitical priesthood and defiling it with their satanic practices, polluting his altar and changing his laws. The Jews have corrupted the covenant of Levi and apostatized the people with their Talmudic Judaism, which today is called Judeo-Christianity, which has apostatized our people today, making them defiled and common and an abhorrence to Yahweh, because they have adopted 33,000 versions of Christianity, which is not Christianity, cast away the law and their heritage, and identify as trans-Gentiles who declare themselves saved by their own mouths. They eat unclean animals and worship a Jewish Jesus. We saw in the Maccabees that the Israelites in Jerusalem were forced to eat swine's flesh or die. The Judahites were forced to follow Antiochus' new world order and abandon their own beliefs and traditions. Antiochus forbade offerings and sacrifice in the temple, that the people should profane the Sabbath, set up altars, carved images and idols, and sacrifice swine's flesh and impure beasts, that they should not circumcise their children and forget their laws and change their ordinances. Many Israelites accepted torture and death over profaning the Holy Covenant. But now God made the unclean animals clean, and pork is the number one selling meat, and all those people who died for refusing to eat it died for nothing, because God changed his mind and turned nature's vacuum cleaners into tasty delicatessens. But what cleans up nature's toxins, death, and decay now? Maybe God forgot to make dead bodies, plants, and toxins and parasites and garbage clean too. Or did he cleanse those things too? The apocryphal literature was removed from Scripture because it shows who we are and shows the abominable filth unclean animals are to true Christians who would rather die than eat it. We just scratched the surface of the renewed covenant, and we learned in Matthew not to give set-apart holy things to the dogs or the swine, because they will turn and rend you. This is a reference to people outside our racial family. We saw that unclean spirits are demonic spirits. These spirits easily enter the minds and hearts of Judeo-Christians because Jaime lets them in. When we adopt the ways of the other races and when we adopt the religions of 33,000 denominations, we invite unclean spirits and defiling practices into our lives. Return of the Unclean Spirit, Matthew 12:43. When the unclean and demonic spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then it says, I will return into my house from where I came out. And when it is come, it finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Job 1:7. And Yahweh said unto Satan,
From where do you come?
Then Satan answered Yahweh and said,
From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. An unclean spirit can have no rest but in the polluted heart of a man. Reformation is not necessarily salvation. Reformation without godliness may bring a curse rather than a blessing. Especially if you invite Jaime Jesus into your heart, he'll bring all his demonic buddies with him, and you'll be worse off. God is willing to bless us, as he allowed the demon to be cast out of the man. Yet those blessings do not insulate us from further problems.
Oh, I'm saved.
Being saved, as the churches teach, is the same thing as what verses 43 through 45 are talking about. There are 33,000 denominations filled with unclean spirits waiting to enter your heart. The Desolating Sacrilege, Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination, the detestation, the idolatry, and foul thing of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Abomination is G 946, delugma, which is a foul thing, detestable, of idols and things pertaining to idolatry. The references and history show that the abomination of desolation is idolatry. It's everything idolatrous, which includes the sacrificing of unclean animals, the worship of other gods, illegitimate priests, and pagan rituals. Today's churches are no different. They are desolate of the Spirit of Yahweh. Desolation is the act of desolating, destruction, or expulsion of inhabitants. The Roman armies made Jerusalem desolate. They plowed Jerusalem as a field. When you see the Jews at the Wailing Wall, you are seeing hypocrisy in action. That is not the temple wall they are acting in front of. The temple was not on the mount. It's the remains of a Roman fortress. If you don't believe it, will you believe the historical record of Josephus?
Josephus, Wars, 7:1-1. In executing the command of Titus relative to the demolition of Jerusalem, the Roman soldiers not only threw down the buildings, but even dug up their foundations, and so completely leveled the whole circuit of the city, that a stranger would scarcely have known that it had ever been inhabited by human beings.
How about the words of Yeshua Christ? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. How long will you remain defiled by Jewish fables? How long will these churches partake in the uncleanness of the contaminated doctrine of so-called Christianity?
Plenty of taste, British folk. Real value for money.
Bread's got plenty.
Arthur's got plenty. We've all got plenty. Plenty to go round. My wife's got what it takes.
British pork. What's it got? It's got the lot.
Got pork for lunch on Sunday?
It's got plenty of parasites. That's why I deemed it unclean.
The man with an unclean spirit, Mark 1:21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. The scribes were teaching Judaism, which is where Judeo-Christianity comes from. It's not Christianity, and that is why the people were astonished at Yeshua's doctrine. Verse 23, And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean and demonic spirit, and he cried out, saying,
Let us alone. What have we to do with you? You, Yeshua of Nazareth, are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of Elohim.
The unclean spirit knew well who Christ was. The people didn't. Neither would today's people, because they are brainwashed by the same Jewish conditioning. Verse 25, And Yeshua rebuked him, saying, Hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean demonic spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean demonic spirits, and they do obey him. Just imagine Yeshua entering one of today's churches. They would call his doctrine new, and would be amazed at what he would say, and call him a racist, because they wouldn't be familiar with the truth. They would only be familiar with unclean spirits and what Jaime Jesus was selling. Mark 3:9, And he spake to his disciples, that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many had plagues, scourges, and afflictions. And unclean demonic spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying,
You are the Son of Elohim.
And he straitly charged the unclean spirits that they should not make him known. The unclean spirits even acknowledged that Yeshua was the Son of God. When have the Jews ever made such a statement? Never. They murdered him because he said he was the Son of God, which they adjured him to admit. Caiaphas, the high priest, put Yeshua under the oath of Leviticus 5:1 in Matthew 26:63, in which Caiaphas publicly disqualified himself as an already illegitimate priest anyway, and facilitated the transition of the office of the priesthood to Yeshua Messiah, making him high priest. This is officially when Christ assumed the everlasting priesthood in the order of Melchizedek. The priesthood of men was made void. He officiated his own sacrifice. Pigs are the only animals in the Bible with demons. Beyond the lake, Yeshua heals the Gerasene demoniac. Mark 5:1-20 and Luke 8:26-39. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, which is over against Galilee, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man possessed with devils, unclean spirits, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, who had his dwelling among the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Yeshua afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And, behold, the demons cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Yeshua, you son of Elohim? Are you come here to torment us before the time? For he said unto him, Come out of the man, you unclean demonic spirit. And Yeshua asked him, What is your name? And it answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And they besought Yeshua that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Mark uses the word country, G. 5561, Korah, which is a region or country, also the space lying between two places or limits. Luke uses the word deep, G. 12, Abusos, meaning the abyss, the pit, the bottomless pit. Of Orcus, a very deep gulf or chasm in the lowest parts of the earth used as the common receptacle of the dead, and especially as the abode of demons. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and the unclean spirits besought him that he would allow them to enter into them. And he gave them leave, and he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked and perished in the waters. And when they that fed the swine saw what was done, they fled and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And they went out to see what it was that was done, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Yeshua. And when they saw him that was possessed with the devil, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart out of their coasts from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. They kicked Christ out of their coasts. They preferred the world and their swine business over the Word of God. That is a very good portrait of most of our own race today. Most so-called Christians would never trade in their swine for any amount of the truth. Here are some facts and stats of the pork industry.
Industrial pig farms now dominate the pork industry, enabled by drugs that allow animals to be intensively confined and encouraged by federal tax breaks that favor large-scale corporate agriculture. This has created dire consequences for consumers, the environment, and, of course, the animals. After impregnation, the sow is locked in a narrow metal gestation crate. The width of the crate varies from 18 to 24 inches, and the length is 7 feet, extending just beyond the sow's own body. She is restrained in this unbedded, cement-floored crate for her entire pregnancy, nearly 4 months. She is unable to walk or turn around. She is fed at one end of the crate while her feces collects at the other. The environmental hazards inside the pig factories are among the worst to be found in any industry. The closed buildings of the industrialized pig farm contain a dangerous combination of noxious fumes, including ammonia, hydrogen sulfide, feed dust, and decomposing fecal matter. Pork is the most consumed meat in the world today. 81% of Americans eat pork on a regular basis. Bacon is the most popular pork product on menus today.
And I'll say it again. Without bacon, we're nothing. We're all nothing.
Yeah, who says so?
Then why do they always order bacon and eggs instead of eggs and bacon, huh? 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 And why are they so picky about getting the number one bacon? Now, why do people buy more Swift's premium than any other brand, huh? Swift didn't get to be the leader by accident, you know. It's that sweet smoke taste. Folks can taste the difference, you know.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Now take a look at yourself. Alone, you are just another egg. But add Swift's premium bacon, and that's what puts the sunny in Sunnyside up.
You know, I never looked at it that way.
Give the eggs a break with Swift's premium bacon, the lean, mild bacon with a sweet smoked taste. Swift makes everything better, including appetites.
You are not nothing without bacon. You are nothing without obedience.
This next example are verses the churches skew to teach you that you can eat unclean animals. They ignore the context of eating with unwashed hands and change the context to being able to eat pork. Mark 7:1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eating bread with defiled, or commoned, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. This is not an Israelite tradition or law. It is the tradition of the Jews. When Herod replaced the Levitical priesthood with Edomite Jews, the Jews changed the laws of Moses and added their own traditions and decrees, which they used to rule over the people with. These Jews may not be enforcing us to wash our hands before we eat today, but they sure are taking our free speech away, our guns, our identity, and our inheritance. The churches ignore the context, which is established in verses 2 and 3, eating with unwashed hands, and they teach you that it is about God cleansing unclean animals. Verse 4, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him,
Why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?
Here is the context established again. Eating with unwashed hands. There is no law in Scripture that states you must wash your hands before eating. The Jews added that decree. They also know that hand sanitizer has triclosan in it, which is harmful to the nervous and reproductive system. So when our people go to Walmart or other Jew-owned stores, and they use the hand wipes to clean the pushcart handles and their hands, they are actually poisoning themselves. Thanks, Jews. Verse 6. He answered and said unto them, Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of Elohim, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, Full well you reject the commandment of Elohim, that you may keep your own tradition. In no way does Yeshua discount or eliminate the commandments of God. It is the commandments of men Yeshua attacks. Yeshua is insisting that it was the commandments of God that were being rejected and thus were being broken by these Edomite Judean leaders. They had substituted their interpretations for the commandments of God. What the Judean leaders were keeping or trying to enforce were the commandments of men. The churches need to be able to explain how the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do has anything to do with eating pork or unclean foods. The churches never follow the context. They follow their bellies. Yeshua nowhere mentions pork or unclean meat in these passages, and in no way links the two differing sets of commandments. It's the churches that teach their own commandments and traditions, not God's. When Yeshua gave his explanation to his disciples, saying, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out in the drought, purging all foods? The context concerns only those things relating to the commandments of men, and the little bit of dirt that you may have on your unwashed hands. The fact that pork, for instance, likewise goes out in the drought, does not mean it is no longer an unclean animal, even if the churches say it is so. Not eating swine's flesh is part of the commandments of God. Eating swine's flesh is part of the commandments of men. If one were to eat something by accident, like a piece of food packaging, or a hair, or something that was past the expiration date, or even in the case of children, swallowing a penny or a pebble, it would come out in the drought. So is everything you put in your mouth now considered clean? No. Christ is saying that a little dirt on unwashed hands won't kill you. The churches teach you to sin by changing the context from eating with unwashed hands to,
The Lord said pork is clean now. Dig in!
Mark 7:14 And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from outside a man that entering into him can defile, commonize, or contaminate him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile, commonize, and contaminate the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So is Yeshua contradicting Yahweh the Father? Didn't Yahweh state in the Old Testament that those who eat swine's flesh are an abomination to him? Leviticus 11 is where Yahweh states that those who eat unclean animals are considered unclean and impure. In Leviticus 17:15, it states that those eating a clean animal that died of itself are unclean and impure until evening. Isaiah 65:4,
Which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, "Stand by yourself, come not near to me, for I am holier than you." These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day.
Did Yahshua say that eating with unwashed hands does not defile you, or eating unclean animals does not defile you? Well, unclean animals is not the subject in Mark 7 and cannot be included in the conversation. And besides, the whole Old Testament just covered all the ways we become defiled, according to Yahweh. Those include idolatry, race mixing, and eating unclean animals. All three still defile you today. It's absurd to believe God cleansed unclean animals, but not idolatry or race mixing. Or maybe he did, because the churches love idolatry and race mixing too. Verse 17. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever thing comes from outside, entering into the man, it cannot defile him, because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out in the drought, purging all foods?" The churches teach that verse 19 is where God ended the dietary restrictions for the church. Silly Judeo-Christians. Tricks are for trans-Gentiles. The context is about eating with unwashed hands, not dietary laws. The churches make up their doctrines to suit their bellies. Verse 20, and he said, "That which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man." The food laws are for the benefit of the health of a man. It is not a sin to eat a speck of dust or a little dirt that might be on our hands. That's what our immune system is for. It is the things which we do that are evil and defile us. The context is not about eating pork, which is not even considered food. Let's back up again, and we'll see that the context, as verse 2 states, is eating with unwashed hands. Verse 2, and when the Edomite Jew scribes and Pharisees saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. In looking at this passage quoted, we should note that the churches do not go back to the place where the context is established. Here, the context is established earlier in the chapter, where Jesus is contrasting the commandments of men with the commandments of God. In general, the churches do not seem to note the difference. The churches are unable to distinguish between the clean and unclean because they are defiled by lies. Some even teach that the Jews are symbolized by the clean animals, and Gentiles are symbolized by the unclean animals, and that God has now cleansed all animals for food, contrary to the dietary codes of the Mosaic Law, and all men are fit for salvation now. So what these churches are doing is calling God a liar. Because Jews are mixed-race mamzers that will never be allowed into the congregation, because they are children of the devil, who is the father of the wicked one, as Christ stated, and all Jews will be cooked in the barbecue at the end of the age, fulfilling the book of Obadiah. The churches are victims of identity theft because true Israel is the white race and the descendants of Jacob Israel, but are lost and walking in darkness because the Jews have taught you to identify as a Gentile, which does not mean non-Jew. And nowhere in Scripture does God change his laws, the dietary laws, or cleanses anything he deemed impure and unclean. The context the churches change is eating with unwashed hands to God cleansing garbage disposers, or changing the message of God cleansing the lost, scattered Israelites under the renewed covenant to cleansing animals, when it even says,
"You shall not call any man unclean."
There sure is a famine of the Word of God in the churches, but not a famine of pork on their plates. Consider this. When you worship other gods, you are sinning, your mind is defiled, and you have become mentally contaminated with wickedness and are not accepted by Yahweh. When you repent and change your ways, you are forgiven, cleansed, and accepted. When you eat unclean animals, you are sinning. Your body is a temple and is defiled, and you are contaminated with impure and detestable toxic meats until it comes out the other end. Sometimes side effects will linger from eating unclean animals. Yeshua did not say eating unclean animals does not defile you. He said eating with unwashed hands does not defile you. If eating unclean animals does not defile you, then neither does idolatry or illicit sex and race mixing or drinking blood or eating poop. When you break any of God's commandments, you have become contaminated with rebellion, wickedness, and filthiness, and you have made God and his commandments common, and you yourself have become common. Note, some passages in the Talmud indicate that failing to wash hands before a meal is a significant transgression. One Talmud sage even says that eating bread without washing is tantamount to having sex with a prostitute, while another says that acting contemptuously toward this ritual of cleaning your hands causes one to be uprooted from the world. The connection between demons and uncleanness was made to serve important hygienic ends. Evil spirits, sometimes called spirits of uncleanness, rest upon unwashed hands, contaminate foods handled with them, and endanger the lives of those who eat such food. Seven occasions which require a ritual washing of the hands, which destroys or dislodges the demons, were enumerated. Most important among these was upon arising in the morning, for the night creates a special susceptibility to spirit contamination. Even on Yom Kippur, when no ablutions might be performed, the hands must be washed in the morning. Touching the eyes, ears, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands spells trouble. No doubt it was feared that the evil spirits would enter the body through these orifices. The demon of uncleanness entering the eyes could cause one's glance to have a devastating effect upon the innocent passerby. It might even be responsible for the loss of one's memory and ultimately complete loss of mind.
Jewish Magic and Superstition, Chapter 3, The Powers of Evil, The Middle World, page 33, Joshua Trettenberg, 1939.
You can see for yourself if you search hand washing in Judaism. These Jews, which are a filthy, impure, unclean, race-mixed, cursed seed line of devils and demons in the flesh, twice dead tares plucked up by the roots, satanic vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, imposter, counterfeit, race of uncleanness and abominations, have all these laws and regulations on hand washing, none of which are found in Scripture. Just as we saw in Job and in Sirach, what pure thing can come out of filthiness? How can a pure thing come out of an impure thing? How can the clean come out of the unclean?
Of an unclean thing, what can be cleansed? And from that thing which is false, what truth can come?
The Jews are an unclean people. They were defiled from the beginning, as they are from that wicked one, Cain, the son of the Nakash, who deceived Eve. Just as unclean animals were created by Yahweh as unclean and will never be clean, the Jews were engendered through the defiled, polluted, and contaminated sexual union of the serpent and Eve. They cannot be cleansed. They are abominable vessels devoted to the lake of fire. Read the book of Obadiah.
You get pretty choosy about food out here, because you can always keep the best for yourself. But this new Homesteader ham really has to be the finest cut I've ever tasted. I call it the fillet of ham. Just the leanest, most tender part. Delicious.
Introducing new Homesteader, the fillet of ham, specially selected and cured by Swift.
Best ham I've ever tasted.
Don't thank me. It was Swift.
Don't thank Yahweh. He said it was unclean.
Now let's get to the meat of the problem. Not pork meat, but the meat of the truth. The churches teach that Acts chapter 10 is where God said unclean animals were no longer unclean. It's actually quite hilarious when you try to show that this vision of Peter's is not about animals. The poor pew warmers get offended and shout at you,
"You are not to call anything God cleansed unclean."
So out of all the commandments, warnings, instructions, and teachings in the Bible, God spent the whole chapter 10 of Acts to tell you you can now eat pork. What about a whole chapter on the rapture? Well, there is nowhere in Scripture that teaches that we will be raptured, and there are no chapters or verses that teach the ban on eating unclean animals was lifted.
Yay!
These are church teachings and invented doctrine to satisfy the mind with the idea of escaping God's refinement process and escaping his judgment, and to satisfy the belly with the detestable, filthy, unclean animals that defile our temples. Acts 10:1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared Elohim with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to Elohim always. Cornelius was an Israelite. It is evident that he practiced the way and was a Christian. Verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about 3 o'clock of the day, an angel of Elohim coming in to him, and saying unto him,
"Cornelius."
And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, "What is it, Master?" And he said unto him,
"Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before Elohim. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do."
And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called 2 of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray at about noon. And he became very hungry, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. The vision starts here, verse 11, and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. This sheet is symbolic of the 12 Israelite tribes woven together as a group. This was not a blanket for an unclean animal picnic party. Knit is G1210, Deo, and means to bind, fasten, put under obligation of the law or duty. Corners is G746, Arche, and means beginning, origin, the first in a series, principality, rule. The related word is G756, Archomahi, which means to be the first to do, to begin. Verse 12, wherein there were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. The animals were not in the sheet, they were on the earth. The pagan nations of Israel ate and sacrificed clean and unclean animals, making no distinction. When the pagans learned who they were and whose they were, they abandoned eating and sacrificing unclean animals, as every true Christian does when they come to the truth. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him,
Rise, Peter, sacrifice and eat.
But Peter said, Not so, Master, for I have never eaten anything that is common, contaminated, defiled, or unclean and impure. The word common is a reference to something profane. Meat was bought at the marketplace, which was part of the temple, and most people were pagans, so the meat was sacrificed to little g gods, hence profane, defiled. The word unclean is a reference to the Levitical food and sacrificial laws. Animals deemed unclean by Yahweh. Peter, being an Israelite, would know and follow the food laws. Peter thought the vision was about food at first, and Peter needed things repeated three times on several occasions. Notice that this vision is years after Christ died. Peter still kept the food laws. Verse 15, And the voice spake unto him again the second time,
What God has cleansed, that call not you common, or profane, defiled, or contaminated.
The Geneva reads,
Do not you hold them as unprofitable.
What did God cleanse? Is them the unclean animals or unclean people? Israelites that have been defiled by pagan practices which involved unclean animals. Verse 16, This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made enquiry for Simon the tanner's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which is surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him,
Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get you down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.
Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that fears Elohim, and of good report among all the nation of the Judeans, was warned from Elohim by a holy angel to send for you into his house, and to hear words of you. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morning after they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and necessary friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. Peter, realizing that he, a circumcised man, was among all these uncircumcised men. Verse 28, And he said unto them, Do you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Judean to keep company or come unto one of another nation? But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man common, defiled, contaminated, or unclean and impure. Peter states simply what God had showed him in the vision. God has showed me that I should not call any man, common or unclean. To say that God showed Peter anything different, such as, it is now acceptable to eat unclean meats, is to call both Peter and the Word of God both liars. Peter did not agree with the churches that the symbols in his vision had anything to do with being able to eat unclean foods. Peter understands his vision has shown him not to call these uncircumcised men unclean, for they are his kinsmen of the dispersed tribes of Israel. The tribes of the house of Judah in Judea were the uncircumcised, and the 10 tribes of the house of Israel were the dispersed or uncircumcised, who were regarded as common by the Judean house of Judah because they practiced paganism, ate unclean animals, and forgot who they were. This is why the house of Israel are referred to as lost sheep walking in darkness, and were considered common. When the Israelites were taken captive in the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, only a remnant of the house of Judah returned to Jerusalem. The rest of Israel went on to settle elsewhere, such as Greece, Spain, into Europe, and eventually America. These Israelites forgot and lost their heritage, traditions, and knowledge of Yahweh, and were pagans, hence common or profane. Kinsmen forgetting who their kinsmen were. Just like today, we white Americans are kin to those white people in Russia and Europe. We would regard them as common or profane, but they are just distant relatives with different practices. Verse 29, Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at 3 o'clock I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Elohim. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. Immediately therefore I sent to you, and you have well done that you are come. Now therefore are we all here present before Elohim, to hear all the things that are commanded you of Elohim. Then Peter opened his mouth, and said, Of a truth I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons, meaning rich or poor, popular, a nobody, high office or no office, your stature in life. Verse 35, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The context is every Israelite nation, every nation of the 12 tribes of Jacob Israel. The next verse backs that up. Verse 36, the word which Elohim sent unto the children of Yisrael, preaching peace by Yahshua Christ, he is master of all. Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before Elohim, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of Elohim, which is by allegiance of Yahshua Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. No difference between the tribes of Israelites in Judea and the tribes of Israel of the dispersion. They are all the same people, race, and kin. Even though these uncircumcised Israelite men forgot who they are and partook in the way of the heathen, eating unclean animals like in the beginning of the vision, and among other sins, they can be cleansed when they gain knowledge and understanding of their heritage, traditions, laws, and God, and of course, after repentance and changing their ways. It is about forgiving those who were under the law that were defiled by partaking in sin. Even if it was in ignorance, it is still sin. Yahweh was teaching Peter that there were a great many of his kinsmen that needed to be reminded of their heritage, their history, their laws, and their God. Paul and Peter were the apostles to these lost and dispersed Israelites. Paul did not go preach our traditions and promises made to us and covenants with us to those outside our race. He was teaching the message of reconciliation and the way to his common kinsmen. As the Judeans, the house of Judah, thought of the 10 tribes of the house of Israel as being unclean like pigs and other unclean animals, then we can start to understand the vision. But in no way has it anything to do with eating or not eating swine's flesh. It is about the word of God being sent to and received by the lost house of Yisrael. The churches refused to believe what Peter said and what Yahweh was teaching him and us. Peter's vision was not about Yahweh changing his mind about unclean animals for dinner. Malachi 3:6,
for I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Christ did not come to change the food laws. Why would Christ die so you could eat bacon? It is difficult to believe that God was concerned about the health of his people in the Old Testament, but abandoned that concern in the New Testament. Unclean animals are said to be detestable, Deuteronomy 14:3. The same Hebrew word is used elsewhere in Deuteronomy of idolatry and other pagan practices. Also, unclean animals were widely used in pagan rituals.
Forget something? Bacos! For great bacony crunch without cholesterol, bring home the Bacos. Forget something?
Bacos!
For great bacony crunch without cholesterol, bring home the Bacos.
Forget something? I said swine is unclean to you.